You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning to everybody out there. You are officially on the couch with me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. Welcome to the show today. We're going to have a great show, as we always do. And as I always do at this time of the day and throughout the hour that we're together, invite you to give me a call here on LA Talk Radio. You don't have to be on the couch. You can pretend if you'd like. The number to call in live on the air is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815, and that's, you know, that's our line here in beautiful Los Angeles. That's an LA zip code, area code. I'm gonna be in a good place today. So give us a call if you'd like to have any questions answered, relationship issues, problems, whatever. But I really like you to check out my guest today, because she's the author of a new book. As you know, I always try to feature authors who I think are awesome and come out with some of the best books ever to help you guys out, help you, you know, get your stuff together and learn more about yourself, you know, because everybody has really wonderful things to contribute in this world from their knowledge. So we're going to be talking to the author of a brand new book. And at first when I saw it, it kind of shocked me, but I thought, wow, this lady, I know this lady, she's really got her act together. It's Pamela Beatty. Hey, Pamela, how are you, girl?
I'm good, Michelle. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's nice to have you here. And her brand new book is called Why Am I F apostrophe D Up? Why Am I F'd Up? And you know what? At first I went, ooh, girl, what? But you know what? That's what I hear as well from a lot of people who come into my office and say, Dr. Michelle, why am I so effed up? And what I love about your story is you unfold a lot of personal information about yourself and what took you to this journey. And so let's just rock and get right off the bat here.
Okay.
Why, can you kind of tell us about yourself and what inspired you to write this book?
Well, I have been a empathic intuitive and a spirit medium and a past life therapist for about, I guess, almost 20 years now.
Wow.
So been doing this a while.
So what's an empathic intuitive?
Well,
what is that about?
The difference between an empathic and intuitive and just a regular intuitive is I literally feel in my body and in my soul what you're feeling in yours.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
I am so... let me just apologize. If you're sitting across
you
from me
you had a rough
right
day,
now,
Michelle.
Oh, my gosh. She's so stressed, this poor woman.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
I apologize. Go ahead.
No, that's quite all right. So
don't take it
hard
on, baby.
I don't. I am right now, but not from you.
Okay, good.
And so what that did is it gave me a literal experience of what everybody was experiencing.
Yes.
I could literally feel it in my soul.
Yes.
And so... you know, when I was a kid, I had this same gift. I just didn't know what it was.
Right. Did you,
so
did you
I was
talk
sick
to your family?
All the time.
And, oh, my gosh. So you really took it in.
Yeah, really, literally
my
took it
goodness.
In.
My goodness.
They thought at first I was a hypochondriac because I was always sick. Something was always wrong.
Right.
And it wasn't until, gosh, I was in my late 30s, early 40s that I figured out what empathic was. And, you know, I'd get headaches when clients would come. And I was doing the intuitive work. But what the empathy does is it helps me to understand the pain someone is going through from an observational standpoint rather than our own judgment of our lives. You know,
right.
When you don't feel good, you judge yourself. So
exactly.
With me, I empathically feel what they're going through, and I can observe it instead of judging it.
That must have been really tough. I mean, that's really... You have to learn how to shut it off, right? I mean, you have to really learn how to say, okay, Pamela, I'm not taking this. Because there's some people out there, and personally speaking, mm-hmm. some of the patients I have, clients I call them,
yeah.
they have some serious psychological disorders. We're talking schizophrenia, bipolar 1, and I adore them. I love them, and they need to get their chemicals back in gear and work through old stuff.
Right, right.
But if I start to go way into empathy and take on some of these stories, I'll just be...
It's devastating.
My energy is just going to be...
Yeah. So. You know, and in years ago, when discovering it really helped me a lot. You know, it's just like...
I bet.
Oh, well, that's why I'm sick all the time.
Wow.
Because I take it on.
Yes.
And then I learned some preventative techniques to stop taking it on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now that I've done it for so long, those techniques no longer serve me.
Yes.
So it's weakened my constitution, if
mm-hmm,
you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to plan out how I do my sessions and stuff. Because it's just... You know, it makes me physically ill. I take it on too much, and especially with the chaos in the world today, it's not just the individuals that I take on; it's the world as a whole. Like, I will literally feel an earthquake in Japan before it happens in my body. So, it's a pretty intense.
Would you just you and I will keep in contact? You got to let me know these things. So I can be ready for this.
Yeah,
stuff.
I can feel them, and so it's interesting to say the least. So. You know, I've been doing that for, like I said, almost 20 years, and what it did is it gave me this tremendous opportunity through other people's pain to understand the real reasons behind it and to see how similar we all are, you know? So through helping them and learning all these things on my own, you know, I believe in the old adage, when you learn, you teach. So, and I think knowledge is power. And once you understand why you are how you are, then you stop judging yourself and you can start loving yourself. And I wanted to write it because, you know, having this information really helped bring me peace, and I want other people to have it too, and I want them to get out of judgment.
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful way of helping people kind of get through their stuff. For me, it's spiritually based, but it's a very psychologically oriented book because you give tips on how to work through pain, on how to work through depression. You actually have cognitive, you're a therapist, so you know these things, but you really do have some wonderful steps that people can use.
Thank you. Well, it's for years I've had people tell me, like you say, they're effed up, and it's like, well, what do I do? And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, look, for the psychological community, I am not in any way, shape, or form suggesting to not get therapy and do it on your own.
Yes.
Because you can't always.
Yes, yes, exactly.
You need help. We all need help. So,
you know, sometimes we do.
We do.
And we need objective eyes and ears who have kind of experienced it or been there, done that, and who are mature enough to really guide us through and see what their perceptions are.
Absolutely. So, in the book, I'm not suggesting that, but,
you
know, the therapist can't do it all for you. You're going to have to... You got to take the responsibility and go, what can I do? And so the steps in the books are for what can I do?
That's
not in lieu of therapy necessarily.
No,
but
that's so important.
What are tools that I can use?
The only way people are going to grow are through tools, and information through your book, stuff that you have in your book, are really key things to help people.
Yeah.
I really do. So, I mean, I've been teaching a lot of this stuff, but you put it in a different spin, which is lovely. So when you decided on the title of this book, you know, was it similar because some people would come to you and say kind of the same thing?
That's originally, you know, I'd seen the title in the book, I think, for such a long time. And I think the reason I saw it is because every time a client came, that's what say, Pamela, what's wrong with me? Why am I so effed up? I just don't understand.
Yes.
And so I wanted to write that. I mean, that's the real main reason behind it, because it's from experience that I got that. But, you know, I mean, the word to me, it's you know, according to my family, my dad was a Baptist minister, so... you know,
that was pretty heavy to deal with.
It was effed up, if you know what I mean. But
a lot of religious dogma and wrath of God girl.
There was. And so that word, you know, had dirty connotation to it.
Sure.
But I really think now it's honestly, in our society now, it's used more as an adjective than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not considered. I mean, yeah, there are some people that use it in a bad way, but there's everything used in a bad way. So,
right.
And the
right.
other reason, you know, I took a big gulp and said, okay, I'm going to title the book that, you know, I mean, yeah, I guess it was a risk, but is because it makes people look at the book.
Yes.
And not to sell it necessarily, but everyday Joe, people that aren't,
yes.
that don't think they want anything to do with religion or spirituality or anything,
mm-hmm.
will pick up the book and go, oh my God, and I've had this happen so many times uh-huh. in different offices and
right.
places that I have it. They will pick it up and the doctors will tell me, they pick it up and go, oh my God, could I use this? And it's
right.
it's to get yes. people's attention.
Yes.
But it's also to get people that wouldn't typically read a book like this.
No, well, that makes sense.
To read a book like
exactly, this. Exactly, because a lot of times when I have authors on and there's spirituality
mm-hmm.
or, you know, something alluding to that in the title, you know, what happens is a lot of people go, uh-uh, not for me because I am not going for it. This kind of freaks me out, this stuff. But, I mean, it's pretty practical and down to earth, actually, a lot of it. And I think a lot of it's, especially with the new... Not the new, it's been around forever, but I mean the secret concepts.
Oh, absolutely.
You
yeah.
know, it's
yeah.
things are thoughts or things.
Thoughts or things.
And all
yeah.
that stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
But you have 17 chapters, and each, I
yeah.
love it. No,
thank
because,
you.
It, you know, it's a quick read, which is great too. It's easy read,
yeah.
but it's profound. Each is dedicated to, like, the key reasons and beliefs that are necessary to be acknowledged and understood. And healed in order to kind of achieve desired change. So when they come up to you and they go, I'm so effed up. So, you know, you have all these chapters that are dedicated to, you know, subjects that really are significant to people that have really messed them up and stuff. So what? Let's just jump into it here. And I love this question that you helped me ask because this really put it well. You have sex. You have a chapter on sex uh-huh. and love and all this cool stuff. But isn't sex and love supposed to cause us joy instead of, like, messing with our heads? Right?
Well, yeah, it is.
No.
And it does cause us joy, but
yep.
it also causes pain, which mm-hmm. is exactly what everything mm-hmm. in life is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we don't come to live in euphoria like most people think we do.
Yeah.
We come
yeah.
here, the only reason we incarnate is for emotional knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's to
mm-hmm.
gain emotional knowledge for the purpose of spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that happens on this planet that we live on is about emotional growth.
Yes.
The rest of it's a smokescreen.
Yes,
and
yes.
it's all about that. And
uh-huh.
sex and love
right.
are two of those things.
Right,
and,
right.
you know, if you think about your own practice, how many people come to you in pain because they think someone doesn't love them?
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yes.
You know,
every
how,
day.
Yeah. How many times throughout your life have you had people with sex addiction?
Yeah, exactly.
You
right,
know,
right,
it's,
right.
it's,
they have
those,
to fill themselves up
yeah.
For what's whether empty or they never
yeah.
got the message that they were lovable or they, you know, they didn't get that they
right.
they really have to love themselves. But who can with a negative upbringing and
yeah.
a constant environment of being told that you are worthless and what
yeah.
you and you have to be, you know, like a little soldier.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
If there's physical or verbal or sexual abuse
yeah.
or whatever's going on, that we'll just, you know, forget about it.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think those. There were four chapters I think you and I had
mm-hmm.
talked about, and that was sex, love, religion, and God.
Right.
You know, and all those are contributing factors
yeah.
in judgment
mm-hmm.
of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And judgment is what causes us to be effed up.
I think so.
So they're all, I mean, look at sex. Good and, you know, good and bad sexual
right.
experience
right.
cause people to be hurt and have pain and wounds.
Good
right, exactly. and bad.
Exactly. And we're on this physical plane
yes.
to experience all of those things. I mean,
yeah.
those are all, my son is a very spiritual guy. And he always says, you know, he says to me, in this human experience, I find that, you know, being in a romantic relationship is really difficult. And I look at him and I say, okay, go back to the spaceship and take, you know, okay, in this human experience,
yeah.
you know, I'm like,
yeah.
okay,
that's
I
funny.
Love it. I just love it. But I mean, in a way, I think he kind of messes with me as well. But in a way, it's true that, I mean, we are on a physical plane. We are
yeah.
put here. I think you're right. To learn for whatever reason. Our lessons through our emotional world and our
yeah.
physical world and what does physically hurt and mentally hurt and, you know, it's I agree. It's working through in order to become a more enlightened being, whatever that may be.
Well, yeah, and I think with like with sex and love in particular, it is probably, and I'm sure you've experienced this more as much, if not more than me, it's that it causes people so much pain.
Yes. Yes.
It causes them to go on drugs.
Oh yeah.
You know, the lack of love is, and if of course it always gets back to self-love, but the lack of love can cause you devastation.
It really can.
And it's an illusion.
Yes.
Because no one ever really gives us love.
Yeah.
You know, we already have it. You know, love is standard on all humans.
Yes.
You know, you don't feel loved because you don't feel loved because someone gives it to you. You feel loved because it's you love yourself more because somebody else is loving you. And it's
absolutely,
you know, but that still causes you pain when you don't feel love from somebody else.
Absolutely.
And it's perception. It's really about everything to me in life is about perception and perspective. And sex and love and religion and God are all the same thing.
I agree. I really think. And changing that perspective is what your book is all about.
Right.
By the way, folks, if you just turned in, I'm talking with Pamela Beatty. She's the author of the new book. It's called Why Am I F'd Up?
And it's hard for you to say, isn't it?
Oh, God, I'm such a good girl. No,
why am I not effed up is what
no,
the title
actually,
yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. It's not difficult for me to say, but if you look at the cover of the book, folks, it's F'D, she writes, which is really, I think, very classy. But, I mean, it's true, and you know, a lot of people come to us as therapists and ask these questions. You know, you talked about drugs as well. People do turn to substances and alcohol and sex addictions, all kind of addictions to numb us out because of our pain. And I do attribute, because, you know, I've studied all that psychology
yes,
stuff.
Yes, you have.
I do attribute a lot of it to heredity. I think we do, to a certain extent, you know, get a biological inheritance propensity towards certain chemicals that, you know, make us more prone to being a drug addict. But I think the majority of it, truly, 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 is what you're talking about. I think it's about the fact that we don't have enough within us to love who we are, and that is the bottom line, to allow us to get off our own backs and to reassure us that it's going to be okay. We all screw up, and there is no perfection out there
no,
in the world.
No, there is absolutely, you know, that reminds me of my book and the pain I suffered through this desire and this need of my ego to have perfection.
Well, really? I mean, when you were writing it, you were thinking, oh, that's not good enough. Oh, that's not good enough.
The entire time.
Yeah. Well, that's a thorough person.
Yeah. I mean, it took me 2 years to go through this. And, you know, it goes back to when I was a kid. You know, I remember my father always calling me stupid. Like, you're never going to, never going to make it in this world. You're
Wonderful.
Too stupid to do anything.
Yes.
Constantly reminding me how dumb I was. So, and I thought I'd worked on that. I got that one done. And then writing this book, I mean, I threw it down and stopped writing for a while and several different times.
Yeah.
I gained weight.
Yeah.
Just from the thought. And I, you know, I had to, I'm a great observer of myself. You know, I don't expect perfection, but I like to.
Yeah.
Observe why I react the way that
you
I do.
You check yourself a
you
lot.
Bet.
Yeah,
I check myself all the time. I'm always on the couch.
Yeah.
in my own mind, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's cool. I like
and
that.
And so with this book, it brought up every insecurity I had.
Yeah.
And some days I'd pick it up and read what I wrote yesterday, and I go, oh, my God, that sucks so bad. I'm so stupid. What is wrong with
I do the same thing, but I'm exactly.
And I, like I said, I gained weight and all of this, and then I finally get the book done. You're going to love this one. I finally get the book done. Proud. Okay, I finally finished it. And uploaded it to the publisher, got it all done, and then got the book, sent it out to a publicist to have her read it, and she calls me and says, there are typos in this book. Well, guess what that did?
Oh, my God, it devastated you.
Devastated me. Up pops more insecurity. And, you know, I made a decision, and that, you know, after all of that happens, and then I've come to find out I uploaded the wrong version, so...
Oh,
well, but think of the opportunity that gave me.
Okay. See, I love the way you think.
Yeah, it
you turned it into a positive.
Yeah, having that pain
Yeah.
Of being judged.
Yeah.
And having her say, wow, you know, in essence, she was sweet. Don't get me wrong. She didn't say anything mean or cruel. She just said there's typos in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just made me face my ego. It made me face all the insecurities again that I had. And so I decided, you know what? I am not perfect.
Yes.
I don't want anyone to think they're ever going to be.
Yeah.
Because they're not.
Well, and that's right. And what is perfection? It's so subjective.
Well,
what is perfection?
Like, exactly. It is subjective. And okay. It's like when they make Persian rugs, you know, they leave imperfections in it.
Yeah.
Because they believe that there is no such thing as perfection.
I love that.
And it's our imperfections that make us special.
It's true.
And make us unique.
It's
so
really true.
Instead of going back and... She said, you know, just don't try to sell it. Don't try to promote it. It's, you know, the literary world's going to eat you alive and no one's going to read this because it has typos in it. And I was just like, oh, my God, all that hard work. And it sucked. You know,
no, it's like, it didn't.
You know, but that's what I heard in my head.
I hear you.
That's
what
I heard.
Yeah, we always focus on more of the negative things in our life, our little messages we get, than all of the tremendous amount of positives that really are there, the reality of the positives.
And the reason I wrote the book myself without getting a ghostwriter or sending it in to some professional editor because I wanted it to be down to earth.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be real.
Yep.
I wanted it to be raw.
Exactly.
You know, I wanted anybody could pick up the book and get something from it.
Yes.
So I made the decision that, you know what? There's two things good about it having typos. The first thing good is I get to face my ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I get to look at myself and go, oh, wow, you really do need people to acknowledge you. You really do need those things.
Wow.
You know, so I thought, no, I'm going to do it. And the second thing, I want people to pick it up. And if all they see is the typos, then they really are effed up.
You're so funny. Okay. I love that. You're a crack up.
If that's all they're looking at, they're not getting anything from the content. Then,
exactly. Okay,
you know?
Guys, if you just tuned into LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and I'm talking with author Pamela Beatty. Her book is Why Am I F apostrophe D up? Why Am I Effed Up? And we're talking about, you know what? I got to tell you something. I read this, and maybe... Maybe I'm in tune or an empath with you or something. I swear, not find a typo in here. I don't know what she's talking about. Did I get the different copy here?
No, it's all the
same.
I'm
sitting here
That's
reading
awesome.
And I'm going, wait a minute. No, there's, you know,
awesome.
I don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about, girl. So
well, good. And it's then you got what was the message behind the book and not the literary, not the media and... people that project perfection onto other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I don't think there are actually words misspelled.
No.
So I decided what I was going to do is, I'm going to have a book signing, by the way, on, I believe it's October 18th.
Oh, and, where?
It's going to be in a art gallery in North Hollywood.
Cool.
I'll be putting it up on my webpage and announcing
it
here pretty soon. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer the book.
Mm-hmm.
And sign the book, and then anybody that can go through and find the most errors, I'm going
win
to wins a prize. So it's like, you know, just so, and you know,
so
eventually I might go back and fix it. But for right now, I'm leaving it just like it is.
I do know what you're saying, you know, about the community and, you know, you have to, but I'm going to have to now. See, I'm going to really focus. I'm going through this again. I'm going to look for those errors. But
I'm going to find those boo-boos. Well, thank you. I'm glad. That's encouraging. Thank you. Thank you so much. I needed to hear that. Yes.
Guys, if you want to call in live to hear to LA Talk Radio with my guest, Pamela Beatty, author of Why Am I Effed Up, you can do so. Our number here in Los Angeles is 323, area code 2030815. Dr. Michelle here with you. And you know what, Pamela, what I really liked, and I have to continually remind clients of this because I have to remind myself of it. And I don't mean like it's all about me to be weird. But in order to have, the tools for someone else, I have to continue to say, okay, get it, girl, to myself. You talk about pain being an opportunity. What a fabulous thing to say. What a wonderful way to look at things. But it's
Thank
so
you.
True.
It is.
It's so true. Because when we have obstacles and pain and difficulties, we really have to realize, and this is what I, from the law of attraction concepts as well.
Right.
We bring that to ourselves a lot, the thought process we're into and the vibration and what we're putting out there to other people. We have pain, we have difficulties, and it's an opportunity to stop and say, whoa, wait a minute, where, just like you just did, where can I change my thinking? I'm so down on myself. I'm beating myself up. Where can I change my thought to look at this as an opportunity to have a growth spurt, to learn to kind of tweak my thinking, not in a way of denial about things in life, or not in a way of, I'm fine, they're crazy, you know, but in a way of, wow, how can I kind of change my vibration? How can I change my thought in order to get to a better place where I'm not experiencing this pain because it's not really comfortable?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's beautifully said.
I love the opportunity of pain.
Opportunity. Well, you know, it's like I said, when we don't feel good, we assume something is wrong.
Yeah.
When it could actually mean that something is right.
Yeah.
It means when you hurt, you have stirred up old wounds, and those old wounds want to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take advantage of the pain and you use it as an opportunity to discover your wounds, then you win. I mean, it's pain was innately designed by the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't know who you are until you know who you're not.
Yes, it's really
and
true.
And pain shows you who you're not. Whether it's physical, you know, if your body gets sick, your soul's trying to get your attention.
Yes, yes.
You know, when the body gets sick, the soul is talking. It's saying, pay attention over here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sick at my stomach. There's something I can't stomach.
Exactly.
And so pain gives us the opportunity to hear what our soul is saying, to hear how unhappy our soul is, and to fix it.
Mm-hmm. And maybe think back, at you as a therapist and myself, think back and help people understand what are some of the old things that are coming up? Mm-hmm. What are some of the old messages that you've bought into?
Right.
No fault of yours. It's called survival.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, what things, you know, you mentioned to me, you'll never get anywhere. You're dumb. You're stupid. You're not smart enough. You're never. And I hear this a lot. I hear this a lot, which is something else I wanted to bring up, too, is that in part of your process, you also help people and you know, I've helped people try to understand that what is being told to them, understanding the individual who is saying it to you, that parent who is saying it to you, they are a god. When we grow up, there are gods, and they can do no wrong, as when we're these little beings as sponges sucking up everything and all the knowledge we can and taking on all of their emotional stuff. But I think getting older and understanding where their pain is coming from, what their environment was, chances are your dad was told he was a piece of doo-doo as well.
Oh, he was.
That he wasn't worth anything. And his whole fear of controlling his own sadness and his own pain was to have control over you and impose that on you. So it's like it's like a cycle. I mean, it goes on and on from generation to generation.
It does. It's cyclical. You know, and the thing, you know, like, for myself, like my father, I really believe that, I mean, I've studied this a lot, and we come in with pain.
Yes.
And we come in with the desire to finally friggin' heal the pain.
Yes.
We're sick of it. And so we pick parents, like I picked my father, that are going to point out to us what we feel, how unloved we feel about ourselves.
Yes.
And my soul, apparently, had never felt intelligent enough, had never felt good about itself. So in order to know, you know, who I was, I've had to figure out who I wasn't.
Yes.
And so I picked a father that was extremely judgmental and critical.
Yes.
So that I could finally go, wait a minute, that's not me.
Yes.
I don't believe a thing he says.
Great.
And he's the one in pain.
Exactly.
And so when you're little, you know, at least when I was little, I was the rebel, so I always fought back.
Did you?
Oh, God, yeah. I always stood up to him.
Okay.
But I got a lot of beatings for that.
Oh, honey.
So what do you think it recorded in my soul? Standing up causes you pain. Do not stand up yourself.
Right.
So after a while, you start saying, well, wow, Pavlov's dog.
Right, you shut down.
Open mouth, get beat.
You shut down.
You shut down.
Go within, and you're meek and quiet, and that, like a little puppy.
Yeah, and that's part of what caused me personally to be so effed up.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, all this stuff in this book is stuff I learned not just from other people.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
From my personal experiences.
Yeah, well, you know, that's really the best way to try to bring that information to other people, because that's the only way we can't, unless we know it and feel it and embrace it, sometimes we can't. It's really hard to be a therapist and teach all these therapies and, you know, what they call orientations, unless you haven't felt the stuff yourself and trying to forgive and everything. So let's talk about healing that kid inside. You said, how do you suggest, you know, to readers here, how to heal that kid inside? I mean, we all go through different ways, and like you said, it took a long time.
It did take a long time, and it took a lot of, you know, paying attention. It's like Buddha said, the fastest way to the road to enlightenment is to pay attention.
Yes.
And so I paid a lot of attention, and throughout the years, my spirit guides would tell different people these things, and so I incorporated into an opportunity to heal. So there basically are like four steps to me that you can take to help yourself. But like, again, like I said, look, if you're in a lot of pain and you're suffering, get a therapist. You know, it's like, go get a therapist too, and then help yourself. Take charge, you know. But one of the first steps is to make a list, and you take and you divide a piece of paper into three columns. And in the first column, you make a list of the five most painful moments of your life.
Wow.
The moments that you can remember, you know, because you either face the fear or you run from
it. Yeah.
So this is about facing your fear. Okay. So you write down the five most important painful moments of your life. And in the second column, you write down how those painful moments made you feel.
Right.
You know, be specific as possible. Try to remember it as a little kid, not as the adult looking back.
Okay. So you go back into that little kid mode of like, I was bad.
Yeah. How did she feel?
Okay.
Not how you feel as an adult. Oh, you know, my parents are screwed up and No. You have permission to look at it and feel it exactly the way you felt at the time that it happened.
Yep.
And then in the third column, write down the dialogue your parents or whoever it was that caused you this pain. Write down the dialogue they had and the things that they said to you during those moments.
Right.
What are the expressions that they said?
Uh-huh.
And again, the reason, like I told you, my dad used to say I was stupid. Mm. So when I made my list, I discovered why I didn't think very highly of my intellect.
Yes, of course.
Well, no wonder.
It's in there.
So after you make this list and you write down all the things that they said, it helps bring you into it, get you in the game, you know? And and you're like, oh. And then after you write this down and you made the list and you look at it several times, then say this mantra. Well, no wonder I didn't feel loved. It's to bring your conscious mind and connect it with the subconscious. The subconscious is in pain and it's trying to say, hey, I don't feel good. And then when your conscious mind gets involved, that's when healing comes about.
Yes, yes.
Because a lot of times people don't, and I'm sure you see this, don't realize or recognize that all those nasty events, you know, my parents locked me in a closet, they don't realize how truly adverse the adversity of all that.
Right.
They don't realize it.
Right.
They just think, well, my parents did the best they could. Mm-hmm. No, they didn't.
Right. Exactly.
They were in pain too.
And they didn't really know a lot of them. You know, I mean, most of them actually, unless they're really evil people who get a kick out of inflicting.
It's inadvertent.
They just, they're not unintelligent, or they're not in touch with their feelings, and they don't realize the devastation that they're going to cause. They just think that the control...
Well, they never healed their inner child.
Right.
So their inner child recreates their pain, and you recreate it with somebody else.
Exactly.
So if you do that, it'll help. Oh, and the second step, so you make the list.
Yeah, okay.
Then you actually talk to the inner child.
Cool.
And I suggest a ritual.
Okay.
It's like a ritual of sitting down, visualize sitting down on a park bench, and the little girl comes up and sits down, and you talk to her like you would have preferred your parents talk to you.
Yes.
And then you just tell them, you know what?
So you're like the nice mommy or the nice daddy talking to you as a child.
Because you know what? If you keep criticizing yourself, you are treating yourself exactly like your parents treated you.
Sure.
So if I had to stop telling myself how stupid I was. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel good when my dad did it.
Oh, hell no.
You know? So it didn't even feel any better when
exactly.
I did it.
Right,
you have to stop. And then have some playtime.
Yes.
Go to a park. Swing on a swing. Go to a merry-go-round. You know, woohoo! You know, just fun. And let your inner child have joyful memories, joyful moments, and give her that. And then the last thing is to just pay attention. Mm-hmm. If you get upset about something, if your inner child reacts, and they act the way they've always acted.
Right, right.
And they're trying to get your attention. So anytime you feel defensive, you get angry, you feel sadness, you get depressed, it's your little inner child trying to say, hey, I don't feel good. Pay attention to me.
Exactly.
So give them some love.
Give them some love, baby. And also take a look at, again, you know, when you start to have those old feelings and the pain comes up again is, wait a minute, why am I feeling this? What was just presented to me?
Yes.
Or what am I thinking that is bringing back that old stuff that I'm trying to work on now? And what is, it is an untruth. It is an untruth that you are stupid or unworthy. It is that is not true. And, you know, continually reminding ourselves. And also what I have learned is, of course, it's physiological in that whole what the bleep concept. We're building neural patterns that keep reinforcing those thoughts that we are not worth, we are not worth. And it becomes a normal physical place we go. And really through conscious cognitive work, we have to change those thoughts, become that person who really heals ourselves again, or have, like you said, a therapist or someone really help us out with that stuff. And keep beating it into us until we finally make that transition to when we start to go down, oh, I'm not good enough, or I'm stupid road, we immediately go, wait a minute, that's old shit.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. Next.
That's
moving
what I
on.
Call, yeah, that's what I call getting in the game. It's like when you're paying attention to what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so, we are so amazing, us beings, because of our innate wisdom.
Right.
And, our innate opportunities that we create to help us to heal.
Yes.
And people always, like I said a while ago, people assume bad feelings mean something's wrong.
Right.
But it doesn't.
Yes.
Bad feelings mean, ooh, look at that. That made me feel crappy. That publicist told me, basically, I was stupid. And that made me, and she didn't.
Well,
she didn't.
Right,
but in my head.
That was your interpretation.
Yeah, that was my interpretation.
Sure.
And so it made me feel terrible.
Right.
Well,
right.
You know what? We judge our feelings so harshly, and they're the only integrity we have.
Mm-hmm.
They
Absolutely.
Are.
They really
they're
are.
Telling you something.
They sure are.
They're not. It's not bad to cry yourself to sleep every night.
Oh, I'm
if
all
that's
for.
What you're feeling.
I'm all for purging through crying.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm all through hugging yourself and loving yourself and forgiving yourself and having a great cry.
Right.
I have these clients that come in and say, I cried. I've been crying a lot this week. Good.
Good.
Now, when you're crying, hold yourself and think about the feeling and the pain, and then forgive yourself. Transition into, while you're crying, I love you and I forgive you. It's that little parenting, you know, yourself as a child again thing. But I'm all for that. That pain is a good thing.
And you know what? It is a good thing. And also with the emotions being our only integrity.
Yeah.
You know, in order to heal these, you got to get out of judgment, but you have to cry. You have to have those feelings. They're honesty. That's honesty, and you have to express them. Like, if I'm feeling anger, I go to – you're going to love this. I go to a movie theater.
Yes.
And I go watch a movie. And the reason I go watch a movie when I'm feeling anger is because I need to express it.
Yeah.
I don't want to express it with people I love.
Right.
So I go to a movie, and invariably, God will provide me with a very loud person talking through the movie, just so I can get an opportunity to go, hey,
shut up.
And I feel so much better. And I'll go, hey, I'm listening here.
You know, just like you're so
put
funny.
A cap on it. And because they don't, you know, they're an unwilling participant, but somebody had to tell them. So they get to participate in that too.
There you go.
And I get to participate, and I'll leave there going, oh, my God, that felt good.
You are so funny.
That just felt so good. I so needed that. Yeah. And then I go celebrate it. Like,
there you
woo,
go.
I just released some anger. Isn't that awesome? Because I think that's a huge part of healing.
Well, we were all given.
Celebration.
We were all, celebrate after, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we were all given these emotions. We were all given, we were given tears, the ability to cry and purge and release and
gotta
anger.
Gotta be a reason.
And, you know, fight or flight and all that stuff, the chemical stuff. But we were all given it to have the human experience and to get it work through it so that we can enjoy the pleasurable moments. Unfortunately, many people are addicted to that pain, and that, you know, they like kind of being the victim, but that's a whole other thing we can go on to.
Well, you know, but that's really, that's a really good thing, though, that you just said, because there's a reason behind the addiction to, there's a divine purpose to the addiction of being a victim. And that is, if your soul comes in here to heal, it is determined to do it. It has some goals, baby, and it's going to achieve them.
Yeah.
And if you're not achieving it, it's going to keep you in that victim mode.
Sure.
So that you can become aware whenever you're ready to get out of that victim mode. If you're not in the victim mode, you won't heal.
Yep.
So every negative emotion we have was designed to get us to a positive outcome.
To the next step of healing.
Yeah,
the next step.
So
I like that.
It keeps us there in that moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we can heal.
Exactly.
So it's really, I'm
really
fascinated
makes a lot
by
of
it.
Sense.
Yeah.
And it's a continued thought that pain is okay. It's good to feel these things. These are all little red flags to try to improve and continue. And don't deny it. Don't shove it down. Feel it. Allow
it.
You know, and then try to do some of the work that you suggested. Let's talk about the belief that thoughts are things.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I think so many people are into this, you know, the truth of that. I mean, it for me, it's quantum physics.
Right.
It's the
it
truth.
Is. It
so
is.
So what is your take on that?
Well, I have a little bit of a unique twist on that. I mean, thoughts, you know, it does mean that you're literally creating your life with your thoughts.
Sure,
and
sure.
If you think you're successful, you are. If you think you live in poverty, you do. And, you know, but I had a twist to it because that's all like the secret and like you said, the
bleep. Law of attraction and all that stuff.
Yeah, all of that kind of stuff. But the twist I had to it is like I think it gives – the subconscious mind needs repetition.
Mm-hmm.
It has repeatedly had the same negative thoughts.
It is so comforting.
For lifetimes.
Yes. Okay.
Lifetimes.
Okay, so you're – okay.
Not just in this lifetime. And the subconscious mind, which is thoughts, knows no space and time.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as it's concerned, it's all going on at the same time. So it creates – it doesn't differentiate between this lifetime and another one. That's why there's so many phobias. Because if you died in a plane crash, you're pretty much – your subconscious mind's pretty much going to want to protect you.
Yeah.
From getting into a plane.
Okay. So you think a lot of these things are caused from past life experiences.
Yeah.
So
I do.
So we go ahead and you feel that we go ahead and come back on into another existence in order to work through stuff, in order to learn the lesson again.
Yeah, you bring the pain with you.
Ugh.
Because the subconscious mind knows no place and time.
Okay.
So like I said, as far as it's concerned, it's all going on at the same time. But again, that gets back to thoughts or things. And so I loved The Secret. I love the bleep. But I think people need to, I think people get very frustrated, and I'm sure you've experienced this, that they do all that. They make their vision board. They sit around and smile and imagine themselves driving their new car and their new house.
Acting
and,
as if.
Yeah, and all these But unfortunately, it's all these material possessions.
Well, this is what I'm seeing a lot of the popular books too. It's not about that, but I mean that's what people want to create. Is I want to be
Rich.
Well, I mean there's nothing wrong with wealth, and
there's nothing wrong
with fame. But I hear what you're saying.
It gives you an unrealistic expectation that you're not going to have anything painful happen because you have that new car, you have that new house,
and that this stuff will bring you joy.
It won't.
Right.
No, nothing external can cause you internal joy. Nothing outside of you can bring you internal joy. And if you do, it's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that. So to me, thoughts are things is that, you know, I want people to understand that it's not just making that vision board. It's not just repeating the mantra is, I have a new car, I have a new car, I have a new car. That won't keep you from avoiding the subconscious thoughts that are causing you issues. You might get a new car, might blow up on the freeway.
Right.
It's not realistic to think that if I just change my conscious thoughts, everything's going to change. That takes some time.
Right.
because you have to heal the subconscious thoughts as well.
So you're saying just kind of like you're along that Freudian line. I mean, that was the classic Freudian thing, is you bring the subconscious to the conscious through, you know, just talking things out, through talking and talking and talking, and then realizing actually what these feelings are, and then getting to the root of why, and then kind of resolving that and moving on, basically.
Yeah, and the why isn't, the source of the why is not, like I said, it's not necessarily in this lifetime.
Okay.
It could be from another lifetime. And unless you understand about karma, and unless you understand about reincarnation, then you'll do all this work, and then you'll get frustrated, and then you'll judge yourself because I changed my thoughts and nothing changed. No, you changed your conscious thoughts.
So a lot of people, you think, who are not into this, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, kind of cringe thinking about past lives. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people go,
absolutely.
I didn't even want to think about that. I mean, why would I come back in here and try to learn this icky stuff again? Why did I put myself in this damned family again? Because what the heck? I'm, you know, so... So a lot of people really need to get that maybe they were working stuff out before, if they were here before, but they can't really, you know, sometimes they can't really go back and say, well, you know, I've got this issue because I can't remember why I have the issue, but I sure as heck have it. So you're saying now in this life, it's, you've got it, you brought it.
Yeah. So
and fix it.
And you can fix it. And here's the cool thing is that you can indeed fix. You don't have to understand this. You don't have to know exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, this came from the early 1800s. All you need to know is that you just need to heal your inner child. Because you brought that pain with you. Mm-hmm. If you heal it in this lifetime, it will heal it permanently.
Yeah.
Because you brought it in to fix it. When you focus on it and you fix it, it's gone.
Yep.
So you don't need to know about past lives and reincarnation and what the karma is. You don't need to know that in order to fix it.
I think you're so right. It's just taking care of your, you're not feeling well, you feel through it, you take care of it, you get on to the next issue or whatever. And it takes years, and it takes years sometimes, and it's okay.
Because the subconscious mind needs repetition.
Exactly. I really agree with that.
Yeah, you can't tell it one time and go, okay, I'm all better now.
Right. And what am I shoving down again? What am I shoving down? Whoop, here it comes again to the conscious. Yeah. It's up here and I'm feeling it.
It
and
will
I'm in
pain. Show up.
No, it really will.
You can ignore it all you want to. It's still going to show up.
It really will. And you know, I'm looking at the time here. We're running out of time already. Pamela, if you've been listening, I'm interviewing author Pamela Beatty. She's written the book, Why Am I F'd Up? Why Am I F'd Up? And I really like the book. I don't know talking about when you were talking about the spelling errors. But
I guess that money I gave you paid off, didn't it?
Yeah, baby. Just wait until we get off the air. But I mean, no, folks, it is a therapeutic book. It is coming from a spiritual place as well. It does do a lot of cognitive work, but it also helps you with your subconscious and realizing some of those old messages you got. It does go into more spiritual things, which we didn't even have a chance to talk about today. But if you are at all interested in kind of figuring out a lot of your stuff, it's a wonderful therapeutic book, but it does go deeper. And I really liked reading it. I really enjoyed reading it a lot.
I really appreciate that.
And you're a really good author, and I'm not saying that. I mean, all this other stuff, you're like, oh my God, I'm bad. I was terrible. No. But I'm going to go back and read it again and really enjoy it again because it's awesome. How can folks get in touch with you or get hold of the book?
Well, they can get hold of the book by for sale on barnesandnoble.com.
Great.
And if you're a member, it's free shipping.
Yay.
You can also get it on amazon.com. And if you want to know more about me, I have a website at pamelabeatty.net. And that explains everything. And probably by tomorrow, I will post where and when the book signing is going to be.
Neat.
Right now, it's Sunday, October the 18th. But I'm a pretty free-flowing girl, so that may change by tomorrow morning, but that's where they can get the book, and they can find out more about what I do on my website.
Great, and your website again is?
PamelaBeatty.net.
And it's Pamela Beatty is B-E-A-T-Y, folks, right. B-E-A-T-Y, Pamela Beatty, and again, the book is called Why Am I F'd Up?
You said that so eloquently.
it just makes me feel better to say it that way. Pam, so nice to have you with me on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
Damn, this hour went fast, didn't it?
It did. It truly did.
Oh, folks.
It's fun.
I know. Good. Hey, that's what it's about, baby. Hey, if you just would like to stay on the couch, you can do so. This is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. On the couch, as we always are at this time of day, but you can download this show if you didn't get enough today live. And have a great day. I always say, you can find me at drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. That's my website, two L's in that name. And you can link and write me and tell me wonderful things, or not. Do take care of yourself first.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get your name. I wouldn't know what to say to you just the same. Of sound.